Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. Today we continue our series with Dr. Neufeld entitled The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached on Matthew chapter 5 to 7. Today we will listen to a message called Salt and Light from our passage in Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's go back to the Bible with Dr. Neufeld.
I want to move from the image of being salt to the image of being light. Here as before, the statement says something about how Jesus viewed the world. He thought that the world was in darkness. Now, as before, we need some kind of an explanation. For most people living in the Western world, we tend to see light as a metaphor for education, and darkness is a metaphor for ignorance. You know, two historic events in the Western history have reinforced this idea. The first occurring in the 15th and 16th century has been called the Renaissance. This was a period of time when the Greek classics were rediscovered, which led to the resurgence of learning in the Western world. The second historic period has been called the Enlightenment, and this has its roots in the 17th and 18th century with its emphasis on human reason, influenced by philosophers and thinkers that set the stage for the scientific revolution and the viewing of nature as something that could be studied and then also could be explained and harnessed. You know, in both of these historic periods, the idea of light and of knowledge were closely associated, and so it's natural for us on this side of history to think Jesus might be saying something like that. Perhaps the influence of Christianity will bring universal literacy. I mean, that might even be cited. But our task is to understand what Jesus meant, not through the lens of our culture, but from his perspective. Another way of saying that would be to ask, how does the Bible view light and darkness? Well, one example is found in Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. See, in that passage, it's clear that darkness means moral evil and light means moral good. You know, similar ideas found in Proverbs 2:13. There it speaks of those who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. That idea also corresponds very well with John 3:19-20. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. See, the idea of darkness in the Bible is not a metaphor for ignorance, but for evil. It's also a metaphor for secrecy. See, evil or darkness hates the light because light exposes the evil or uncovers what evil things men and women do in darkness. See, that's a fitting description of how evil is maintained. Whether it's the action of criminals who seek to elude the law by remaining secret to the actions of whole nations. You know, ancient and modern historical records of nations show how often nations lie to their own people in order to involve them in wars. People can be manipulated and even be made to be outraged over something another nation has done, and sometimes it's a lie. Darkness has great advantage for evildoers. It hides the truth. But lest we only blame the rich and the powerful, darkness is a part of every human life. It was the Puritans who said that the problem with adultery was not just the adultery itself, it was the mountain of lies that people told in order to hide their sin. It has been said that every human being has skeletons in his or her closet, and I suppose it's true. All of us have moments that we would be happy not to discuss in a public forum, and so darkness becomes our friend. We become people of the lie. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I'm not saying that all things are for public consumption. There are a great deal of differences between light and voyeurism. There are all manner of things about the lives of other people that most of us have no right to know. But what I'm arguing is that sin, evil, and cover-ups go hand in hand, both on a national and on an individual level. And this phenomenon is so pervasive, Jesus can rightly define the entire world as living in darkness. Now, in the New Testament, light is associated with the gospel and a revelation of the knowledge of the glory of God. Not only is the world in darkness in the sense that it's lost in sin, but it is also lost in the sense that it does not know the one true God. Having lived so long in darkness, we have become blind to God. Romans 1:21 says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." The darkness that is being described then is the darkness of idolatry, that men and women have preferred the lies of idols to the truth of the one God. And so in the biblical perspective, this is a picture of our world. The world lost in sin, in which lies are compounded upon lies to hide the true nature of our sin. But the most frightening of all are the lies we tell one another about God so that the knowledge of the only one being who can rescue us is hidden from our eyes. And so what does it mean to be the light of the world? I think the Apostle Peter was reflecting on the words of Jesus when he wrote 1 Peter 2 verse 9. "But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." See, I think that Jesus had evangelism in mind. The way to combat darkness is not to point out how dark things have become. It's to shine the light. And that light is the good news about Jesus, who is the light coming into the world. The only hope for a lost world of darkness is to bring light, to bring the good news. You know, when Jesus spoke of a city on a hill that could not be hidden, it might be that he was making a reference to an Old Testament passage found in Isaiah 2 verses 2 to 3. Let me read that passage. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his steps.'" In Isaiah's vision of the last days, Jerusalem would be ruled by the Messiah. And in that day, Jerusalem would also be raised up and it would become the center of attention for the whole earth. Now, of course, that only happens when the kingdom is consummated, that is, when Christ returns and establishes his kingdom over all the nations. But as we have seen, when Jesus came the first time, he announced the coming of the kingdom. He, in effect, inaugurates the kingdom. You know, through his ministry, the blind were given sight, the lame walked, demons were cast out, the dead were raised, and the gospel of the kingdom was being proclaimed. We live in a remarkable day. In our day, the kingdom has come in the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet the kingdoms of darkness still remain. And in this interim period, when the kingdom has come in a small fashion, until the time when it is finally consummated at Christ's second coming, in this interim period, the servants of the king will serve as the light of the world. They will proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, the reality of the one true God, the God of Jacob, the only hope to escape a world of lies and sins and escape to a gospel filled with light. When Jesus told us that we are the light of the world, he meant that our preaching and our evangelism and our faithful witness would pierce through the darkness of lies and point people to the truth of the one true God in Christ, crucified for us, risen from the dead, with a free offer to come and to be reconciled to him. See, I began this address by telling the fable of the math student who didn't know that it couldn't be done. But this, the reality that the followers of Jesus are both salt and light, tells us that the presence of the followers of Jesus in a world of decay and darkness is the only hope for this dying and black world. You, if you are a believer and a follower of Christ, are the light in this world because you proclaim Christ. You are the salt of the earth because the way in which you live your life provides an alternative to a world that is suffering from decay. Rejoice in that which God has given you. Accept the role that Christ has given you and announce the truth of Christ in a broken and fallen world.
If there is anything we learned today, it's that we cannot emphasize enough the significance of being salt and light in a world that does not know God. All of us are called to showcase the glory of God and live out His values and actions. But it is not easy in a culture that is increasingly hostile. May this message challenge us to examine where we need to be the salt and light to those in our midst, as we are led by the Holy Spirit. You can request the entire series on CD for your continued personal or group study, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. For your copy, call us at 9492-440070 or email at info@backtothebible.in. Don't miss the program tomorrow, as we will continue to unpack the Beatitudes with Dr. John. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched a brand new website which offers all of our Bible teaching resources, including the on-air messages of Dr. John Neufeld, news about the ministry, our Bible teaching correspondent courses, an opportunity to receive our bi-monthly magazine Confident Living, and a way to support the ministry of Back to the Bible. With the new website, there is never a reason to miss another Bible teaching message from Dr. John Neufeld. And you can order every program that you hear or complete Bible teaching series on CD. So why not visit backtothebible.in today? That is backtothebible.in. Or for more information, call us at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.